Praise God. Just shut your eyes. Lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Father, just as Paul the Apostle prayed, and he said, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we honor you in this place. Oh, Lord God, have your way. Just put your hand on your heart and just say, speak to me, Lord Jesus. Have your way in my life. Oh, Holy Spirit of truth, confront us with your truth, that Jesus may be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just before I get into my message this morning, you know, the book that is Book of the Month this month has changed my life more than anything else I think I've ever read. And I just want to encourage anyone who, if you believe you're called to influence, or you're called to lead in any way, you really want to just follow Jesus more, then please, please get this book. And even if we run out, we'll just keep ordering them until we've got enough. I heard Joyce Meyer make reference to it after God had already put in my heart. I knew it was going to be the next book I'd read. I'd seen it on my bookshelf, didn't know where it had come from, just suddenly it was there. And then 10 minutes later, I'm in my car and suddenly she says, and when I read Andrew Murray's book, Humility, I was finished. You know, and I just thought, wow, God wants me to read it. Literally 10 minutes after I'd seen it on my bookshelf. But I really don't believe anything has impacted me more that I can think of than this book. So I really, really encourage you to read and read and read and read and be patient, because it was written in 18 something or other. It was written a long time ago, so it's in language that you won't be used to, so you have to be patient. But if you really want God to be glorified in this year of glory through you, then I just can't recommend that book enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I want to read a scripture this morning from Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 34. Psalm 68 and verse 34. It says, ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. In other words, God, you're more awesome than everything you do. You're bigger than what you do. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. You know, this is a really interesting scripture. If you just flip back to verse 34, it says, ascribe strength to God. Now, what does that mean? That word ascribe isn't a word we use very often today, is it? But it basically means give credit, attribute. So what this scripture is saying is we've got to learn to credit God with the strength that he has. Are you hearing me? You see, it's very easy to kind of forget how powerful and awesome and strong our God is. Say, my God is strong. Say, my God is strong. You see, God wants us to start to recognize. Say, recognize. To start to acknowledge. Say, acknowledge. How powerful and strong he is. You know, so often we sing and we talk about Psalm 34, if you can just put it up there, Psalm 34, verse 1. And we think of this somehow as a song, don't we? Bless the Lord, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, don't forget what the word bless means. It's a Hebrew word, baruch, and it means to confer benefits. If I put that a little bit more in everyday language, that means to talk about in a really good way. So when I'm saying, Toki, you're amazing. I am so blessed by how much you always take responsibility. You see when things aren't right. I am so glad for every... I'm blessing Toki. So this scripture is saying, talk about how amazing God is when things are well. Is that what it says? At all times, this scripture is saying, no matter what is going on in your life, it's time to talk about how amazing God is. When someone in front of your eyes is sick, it's time to talk about the healing power of God. When things around you are falling apart, it's time to talk about how powerful and able our God is. Say amen. And if we just carry on, in fact, flip to verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Magnify. In other words, it's saying, come on. Let's start to see how big God is. This isn't a song. This is what I'm trying to say. You're getting this isn't like just something we do when we shut our eyes and go, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And then we open our eyes again and go, oh, I'm so fed up of my flipping husband. Why can't he flipping change? Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I've got a boss from hell. Are you hearing me? No. You see, blessing the Lord, magnifying the Lord is saying, do you know what? In the light of everything in my life, my God is bigger. Yeah. Say, my God is greater. And that is what this scripture is saying. Come on. Oh, let's do this together. He's encouraging others. He's saying, we've got to stop talking up our problems. Amen. We've got to stop bigging up our problems and instead start bigging up our God. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that he who can tame his tongue is a perfect man. If you need to work out, well, what do I need to be working on right now? Work on your words. Work on what you say. Who you say it to, that's a sign of maturity. Is when you no longer allow out of your mouth the things your flesh wants to say. It's a sign that you're growing up in God. When the stuff still comes out because you're angry and full of passion or frustrated, it just means we're still immature. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. You know, why is it so important to really see the power and greatness of God? I just want us to read from Zechariah chapter 4. And we're going to start reading at verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4. And we're going to start reading at verse 6. Hallelujah. Now, just before I read it, let me just tell you what's happening in this passage at the time. This is at the time when Zerubbabel, one of the leaders, he's part of helping to rebuild the temple. And he's laid the foundation, and it was a huge job, say big job. How many of you have ever had a big job to get done? Something really big. Only Corradina. Anyone else ever had a big job to do? Where you think, whoa, there's a huge amount to get done. And this was Zerubbabel, and he'd laid the foundations of the temple. And you know what? He was exhausted, and he was discouraged. Because all he'd done after all that effort is just got the foundations in place. Are you hearing me? Have you ever felt, oh my goodness, the size of what I've got to do, and all I've done so far is this? You know, I remember there's been times in my life where I felt, do you know what, Lord, I'm running so fast to stand still. And I'm like, oh God, surely I should be moving somewhere. Look at all the effort I'm putting into it. You know, but I'm not moving anywhere. And here's Zerubbabel. And he's just so discouraged. And we pick up at verse 6. Now the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel. And he said, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? In other words, what are you, this huge job that needs to get done? You're nothing before Zerubbabel. This is the prophetic word that was coming to this man at a time when he really needed it. We're in Zechariah chapter 4, and I'm now at verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall, say shall. His hands shall also finish it. Then you're going to know that this exhausted, discouraged, you want to see, you imagine this man, like, he's exhausted, he's discouraged, and God's saying, I'm still going to use this man. I haven't given up on him just because he's weary. I haven't changed my mind just because he's listened to all these voices around him and he's feeling all like, gosh, can you really use me? And God says, this same man that laid the foundations is the very same man that I'm going to finish this job with. And because he does it, this man is so weak. Say weak. This man who's so weak, because you see this very same man that you see standing before you now finish the job, then you'll know that it was the Lord God who was actually at work here. Give Jesus praise. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, it's not about you either. Now talk to yourself, shut your eyes and say, it's not about me. Hallelujah. You see, what's this whole story about? It's saying sometimes we miss the point. We think that somehow getting this Christian job done, or just whatever job we know we're called to do, is somehow about our strength, our abilities, our qualifications, even our encouragement. Oh, well, I could have done it 6 months ago. I was on the top of the mountain back then. Yeah, great. Could have sent me to do anything. Now, oh, no. I'm just not in a good place. So, no, don't be asking me. I'm not in the right place. Do you see, it's not about me. It's about the God that you and I serve. Are you hearing me? You see, God doesn't want it to be about us when we're strong. Wave at me. Equally as he doesn't want it to be about us when we're weak. It's the same thing. You know, and I just love what God is saying in this passage, because he's saying to you and me, stop keeping your eyes on your own abilities. If we can take our eyes off ourselves and look to God, we're going to start to see what he can do through every single one of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, it says in Philippians 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. It says, have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. You know, God is really wanting to do a turnaround on the inside of us. You know, if I was going to minister or do something for the Lord, do you know, I would always be like, oh God, will you help me? Lord, will you empower me? Will you do something through me? You know, here I am, just, you know, do something through me. And And it was like I suddenly realized how wrong. Imagine if, you know, Godfrey works for, you know, he works in Harvest and he does things here. And so imagine if he came up saying, Joe, use me, do something through me. It's all the wrong way round. Do you understand? No. He just needs to say, what do you need me to do? You see, God wants us to stop telling him how to run the planet. I think he knows a bit better than we do. You know, there's times when prophetic intercessions and prayers rise up from the inside of us, and I thank God for that. And we pray according to the will of God. But there's so many times when we pray according to our wills. And we give God a list of everything we want him to do. I remember one lady, single lady, coming to me and saying, you know, Pastor Joe, is it wrong for me to specify which culture of man I want as my husband? You know, is it all right to say I don't want a beep? That was the, I won't say which nation, but it was a particular nation. Is it all right to tell God I really don't want to marry a beep? And I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, who knows you better, you or God? Who understands your innermost workings better, you or God? Do you know, if I'd given God a list of what I wanted, then I'd have certainly crossed. He definitely doesn't match that one. Honestly, when I met him, you know, I wanted an outdoor boy, someone loves the outdoors, you know, wants to go on long walks. He didn't like any of that when we met. I'll never forget the birthday when he gave me this walks book. And it said on the inside, it said, you choose the walk and the day and I'll get us there and we'll do it together. Oh. Do you know, while he was in Ukraine, you know, dodging bullets, I mean, not quite, but you know what I mean. He suddenly one day, he texted me and he said, my love, I want to sow into your beautification. He said, I want us to pay Jess once a month to do your toes and fingers. I was like, my husband is in the Ukraine dodging bullets. And he's thinking about, you know, suddenly she was always on my mind. I'm like, oh God. How many of you saw him serenade me at Christmas? What a sweet guy. Anyway, if he was here, he'd be going, oh no, I'm all man. But I have no idea how I got into that. But hey, it was good anyway. But you know, God wants us to learn to attribute to him the fact, you know what, God, you know best. You know how to run the world and you know how to run my life. So instead of me saying, Lord, here are my list of, you know, this is my goal list that I need to accomplish within the next, you know, 48 hours, if you're a choleric. Well, there won't be a goal list if you're sanguine, but anyway. But here's my goal list. Can you please, Lord, just help me with this, with that, with the other, with the other? And God's going, oh, Lord, these are my children. You know, and I want the best for them. And I just want them to quit trying to do it their own way. Do you know one decision I've made in my life recently? I'm just going to become a quick-to-obeyer. I used to be one of these things. I'd hear the word and I'd go, oh, God, oh, that's hard. Oh, gosh, Lord, you want me to give that jacket? Oh, my favorite jacket, Lord. Oh, really? Is this really you, Lord? And I'd weep and I'd think. And then eventually I'd obey. Do you know what I thought? Stuff that. Turn to your neighbor and say, stuff that. Delayed obedience is nothing other than disobedience. And I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to be quick to obey. When I feel the quickening in my spirit, I'm just going to do it, and then I can grieve afterwards. Do you know, the jacket's going to go, so I might as well wait till it's gone and then grieve it. You know, God wants us to be quick. Say quick. Quick to obey. You know, I something this morning God just put on my heart, and I saw this. You know, when we obey, we honor God. You know, something really small happened this morning, but God just used it to speak to my heart. Paolo was trying to get an hour's sleep because he'd been on a plane all night. And he was trying to get an hour's sleep, having landed and showered and whatnot, before getting dressed and coming back out again. And so I was desperate to keep the whole house quiet. And my daughter Abby went upstairs to get something. And I thought, I don't want anyone else going upstairs because then they're going to talk. And so they're going to wake. So anyway, off went Daisy, age 4, running up the stairs. And I said, Daisy, stop, come back down. And she just stood at the top of the stairs looking at me. Now, I could tell what she was thinking, and this is going to help you. She's thinking, Abby's, in fact, she said, Abby's gone up. I said, I'm not talking to Abby, I'm talking to you. Now, I had a reason, which was if there are two there, they're going to talk. It didn't matter whether it was Abby first or Daisy first, there was not going to be a second up those stairs. Are you hearing me? So Daisy's looking at me. There's probably every thought going through her mind. This is really unfair. I mean, I don't know. She's 4, so maybe she's not going through all these processes yet. But she's staring at me. And I'm saying, get down the stairs now. And of course, I'm whispering. Get down the stairs now, Daisy. She's just looking at me. So now I'm like, this girl isn't obeying me. So all this, you know, uppityness starts to write. I said, get down the stairs. When I ask you to do something, and I'm whispering still, you know, so all pride is getting up in my heart, and I'm now not walking in love because of the pride, you know, and all that yucky reaction. Do you know we can be proud around children? We never need to allow our attitude to suddenly become about, you're disobeying me. No, why does it matter if someone disobeys me? Because I've got to raise them up. I've got to help them become young men and women of God. If our children disobey us, we should not allow pride to get in within where we're thinking, you're disobeying me. So what? We're servants. Are you hearing me? So pride had got in my heart. And I'm now going, you need to get down. And then I hear Roro around the corner saying, quickly, Daisy. And I was like, and she, now then she slowed. She's still staring at me. And she'd come down a few steps. I mean, the pace was extraordinary. Let me just, you know, she's going. So her mum's going quickly. She's going. Still staring at me the whole way through. I mean, eye contact. So anyway, she gets in. Her mum deals with her in her room. She bursts into tears. So I realise her mum's dealt with her. You know, and I get in the car and I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I allowed that attitude to arise in my heart. Forgive me. Then I'm hearing something on the preaching I'm listening to. When we disobey God, we dishonor him. As a parent, when you say to your children, you do that now, how do you feel if they rebel? Or how do you feel if they say, so I'll be, you know, 5 minutes. Are you hearing me? God wants us to be quick to obey. Obey the promptings. If he says, get out this place now, it doesn't mean in 6 months. If he says to you, move yourself quickly. If he says, get out of that cafe right now because that man's muscles are too appealing. Does he mean linger? We won't go back to Starbucks. Some of you remember when I preached some time ago. I have never been back to that Starbucks, I'll have you know. I've never clapped eyes on that man ever since. Amen. For those that didn't hear that message, it was the day when I met the most good-looking guy ever off the movie screen. Yes. But you see, God wants us to be quick to obey. Because when we obey, we honour. When we obey, we're saying, you're in charge, God. And when we're standing on the stairs going, but so-and-so was allowed. It's what we do with God, isn't it? Now, I could have helped her and said, I just don't want anyone talking. I could have helped. That wasn't her fault. I could have helped her obey there. But I'm talking about us. Are you hearing? We go, but God, you allowed that. Let me give you an example. I was looking at this in scripture. Eli got his whole destiny cut off for not disciplining his sons. Samuel didn't discipline his sons. They did almost the exact same things that Eli's sons did, but God let them off somehow. You see, God sees the heart. He is the cardiognostist, the heart knower. He knows your heart. He knows. I don't know why he let Samuel off. Maybe it was because Samuel never knew what it was to be raised by his mum and dad. Maybe it's because he was an orphan and God has a special place in his heart for orphans. Maybe God just knew that Samuel didn't know better. Are you hearing me? But we've got to obey what God's telling us to do. We've got to not say, but what about him? What about her? She got a husband while she was still backslidden. Why do I have to get it right all the time? Why can't I get the promotion? He got the promotion. We don't know what's going on in other people's lives. We are only responsible for our own lives and for how we obey, for how we respond. Are you hearing? Please don't look to your brother or sister and say, why is it happening for them and not for me? Why is it all different timescales for them? You know, there are certain people and I look at their lives and I want to just go, chop them. Sorry, I was really praying this morning. I was saying, Lord, I want such love. And then I started to name all these mothers that I think have more love than I've ever seen capable in a human heart. And I said, Lord, I want love like that for every single person that you bring in and have brought into Harvest Church. I want you to give me so much love. But this was pre that prayer, okay? So, you know, there's certain people I think, do you know, I can't understand. And then I go to God. I'm like, Lord, have you seen what's going on again? And all I hear from the heart of God is mercy. All I hear from the heart of God is faithfulness and patience. Do you know, God doesn't want us to judge one another. He wants us to help each other. God doesn't want you to have an opinion about someone else should be living their lives. He wants you instead to say, Lord God, I see they're struggling. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to pray for them? Do you want me to do something practically? When we see an issue in someone else's life, it's so that we can become part of the solution. Amen. How many people want to be part of God's solution? You see, I don't want to be part of God's problem here on earth. I've had enough years of that. Amen. I mean, I was one of God's problems for a long, long, long time. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do with this one? I mean, not that he was worried. You know, he knows how he's going to sort it out. Amen? But you know, like, when you just look at her life and think, oh my goodness, how many times will she go around that mountain? How many times will she fall flat on her face in the exact same area? How many times will she just test the patience of the people around her? You know, but God just kept on keeping on with me. He put patient people around me. And then one day, say one day, things started to change. Little by little, a little here, a little there. And then there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And then God starts to do a work on the inside. Please don't give up on the people around you. Don't stop being patient. Don't stop showing mercy. Don't stop believing the best. Love believes. You know, one of the greatest things that you can do for somebody is to believe in them. It's to stand with them and say, I believe in you and I know you're going to come out of this the other side. You may have been struggling for years, but I'm a believer. How many believers do we have in the house? Hallelujah. God wants you and I to be believers. Paul said, have no confidence in the flesh. If you can just get me that in the Amplified version. You know, one of the things the Lord showed me is when it comes to what we put our confidence in, there are two broad types of people. Two broad types of us that put confidence in the flesh. Okay? There are the gifted and talented. How many of you know what I'm talking about? People who are just great at everything. Some people are just very gifted, aren't they? I remember the time when, you know, I was trying to help my husband just offload some stuff because he was doing too much. I mean, you remember some years back when we just said, look, you've got to stop. And his problem was he could do most of it better than anyone else. So it was a little problem. So we're saying, but you're going to have to just stop doing it anyway, you know, and others are going to have to learn. You know, so some people are just really gifted and talented. They just, you know those sorts. You know, there's just nothing they can't really do. Or even just those that are really gifted in one particular area. I mean, Auntie Rhoda can cook. I tell you, you can cook. She's gifted. Are you hearing me? And the temptation that the enemy always tries to lay at us in the areas where we're strong. Are you hearing me? In the areas where we are strong is to say to us, oh, you don't need to worry about that. You're great at that. You know, oh, yeah, I can just show up and get the job done. No problem. Leave it to me. I know how to do it. I can turn the whole thing around. No problem. Confidence in the flesh. And while we stay like that, we will only be able to go so far. Because God doesn't want to do it that way. And he'll bypass us sometimes until we're willing to say, not by, but by his. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? You know, there's times when we're just having confidence in self. Oh, well, I've done this loads of times before. Yeah, that's fine. I can do this. No problem. Leave it to me. And God's saying, have no confidence in the flesh. He wants to work through us. There's another group of people. The ungifted and untalented. Now, stay with me here. You see, it's easy to see the way maybe when people are really great, really good at what they do, how, I mean, you know, we're really good, aren't we, at going, oh, yes, yes, all self, 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 yes, yes, I can see that, but I'm not no good at anything, so I can't do anything. I'm just, no, I haven't got the qualifications. I haven't got the experience. I'm just not good at public speaking. I'm not from the right family. I'm just not very clever. My mind just doesn't work quickly enough. Oh no, I couldn't possibly go to a foreign language, to a foreign country, because I just can't do foreign languages. I can't. What's that about? Putting confidence in the flesh. In other words, I haven't got the flesh's answer, therefore I can't. It's just the other side of the same coin. Are you hearing me? Please don't say I can't just because you can't. Are you hearing me? God can. Yes. Hallelujah. God can. Say that together now. God can. Listen, I couldn't write. I was raised in an education system that taught me this really weird way. So I misspelt everything. And I would have read through all my essays that I did at school. I was no good at reading and writing. Are you hearing me? You know, and I remember my first job. Do you know what I used to do? Just to check my spelling. It was before the days of email. So to check my, it was when we used to use yellow post-it notes and or memos. How many of you remember the days of memos? Do you know, I'm going to be 46 next week. Hallelujah. And I celebrate my years passing. Because every year passing is another year to the glory of God. Never, ever, ever be ashamed of your age. Give glory to Jesus for your age. Hallelujah. So, do you know what I used to do? I used to go onto the computer, one of those really old ones. I would type the post-it note message, press the spell check button. It was before auto spell check. And then copy it down from the screen. I was so self-conscious about my inability to spell. Are you hearing me? I couldn't write. I mean, if you'd said to me, I'm trying to work out timings, I'm 46, so, you know, if you'd said to me 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you're going to write several books, I'd have said, oh, yeah, I think you've been eating too much cheese. You need to visit some... Do you understand? I couldn't write. But you see, God will turn things around in our lives. He uses the weak things to confound the wise. So he picks a girl that is embarrassed about her writing and says, I'm going to make you an author. And I'm going to send your books around the world to change people's lives. Hallelujah. You see, you might say, I can't, but he can. And he lives within you, therefore you can. What does the Bible say? I can do all things. Not just the things I think I can do. Are you hearing me? I remember the day when my husband first told me I had to start pastoring men. I was like, oh my gosh. Have you not noticed they're male? And I'm female. I mean, I went with fear and trembling to the men's encounter 2 weeks ago. I was like, the nearer the days got, I was like ringing Toki and Pastor Toki and saying, please make sure that they all know I'm coming the Friday before I get there on the Saturday so that they don't see me and I see all their faces going, she wear, I mean, this is a woman. Do you understand? You know, but sometimes God sends us somewhere that we wouldn't go because he wants to do something just through a peculiar person. He doesn't always want to use the predictable one to get his job done. He wants to use you. You might say, why me? And he says, just cause. I was speaking up to Daisy at the top of the stairs and I said, you know, you need to obey just because I've asked you. She's still staring back at me. This look on her face, if you'd seen it, I should have got my camera out, you know, click. Just because he's asked us. You might say, why me? How can I do that? How can I go there? God says, do you know what? Don't ask the how. The how's my job. Your job is just to say yes. What's the question, Lord? What's the question, Lord? The answer's yes. That is what God is looking for from us. Have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3, verse 3 in the Amplified says, for we are the true circumcision who worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God. And we exult and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ and put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh. In other words, hallelujah, Lord, when I'm weak, then I can be strong because your strength can be strong in me. The Bible says, be strong in the strength of the Lord. Don't be strong in your own strength. That can get you this far. But when you say, I'm ready to be strong in his strength, there's no limit to what God can do through you. Hallelujah. You see, this is saying, do you know what? I'm going to start with every single thing that God has called and asked me to do. To say, Jesus, I give praise to you. I exalt you because you're able to do this through me. I am so excited that I'm in partnership with the Creator for whom nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Put your hands together to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the very same psalm that says that we need to give all the credit to God for the amount of strength that he has, also says, God has commanded your strength. Isn't that awesome? God has commanded that strength will arise within you. God himself says, he looks at you, he looks at me, and he says, be strong, be strong, be strong, you know? But it's only when we realize, I need his strength. And you know what? I can do it through him, that will open our hearts to receive his strength. And he's looking for people who are willing to say, I am no longer going to try and get this job done on my own. I can do all things through Christ. What does Christ mean? It's not Jesus' surname. Everyone knows that. The anointed one and his anointing. Yes, it's all in Jesus, but it's more specific than that. You can do it all because of the anointing that is in you and the anointing that will be upon you. There's nothing. There's no mountain. Do you remember Zerubbabel? There's no mountain, nothing too big that you can't do if you say, I'm going to stop looking at my own abilities. I'm going to stop looking at my own inabilities. And instead, I'm going to look at the size of the God that I serve. Please, will you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, I worship you. Thank you, Lord. Right now, just lift your hands in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands in the presence of God. And if God's been speaking to you about any area where you've had confidence in yourself, you just rest on the talents and gifts that he has given you, instead of on the one who has given you the talents and strengths. Right now, just give those things to the Lord as you stand in his presence. Just say, Lord, I'm not going to place my confidence in my abilities, in my qualifications, in my background, in who I know. I put my confidence in you, Lord God. You alone are the one through whom I will draw strength. Maybe you're here and you've just seen yourself as inadequate, as not able. And there are things that maybe even you've had a desire and a longing to do, but you've just thought, I can't do that. Right now, the Lord says to you, that's all right, my daughter. That's all right, my son. Because it's not about your abilities. It's about what I can do in you and through you. So if that's you right now, instead of giving up those abilities and talents and subjecting them to the Lord, you just give up your inadequacies. You give up your whatever it is that you think you lack in, whether it's education, background, family, talents, skills, experience. Just give up those lacks to the Lord right now. And just tell the Lord, I have confidence in you. I can do all things because of Christ who lives in me. I can do all things through your anointing, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I will no longer look to my own talents. I will no longer look to my lack of talents. And even when I'm discouraged or weak, in that place, Lord God, I thank you that your word makes me strong, because your power is made perfect in human weakness when we surrender and lay hold of you. Father, I speak your blessing over every person in this place. Lord, I pray for a reliance on your power, on your strength. From every one of us, Lord, every time that we look at our abilities or our inabilities, Lord, bring us back to you. Because it's all about you, Lord God. It's all about you. Thank you, Jesus. And while we remain in the presence of God, if there's anyone here, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know him as your friend, as that one that you talk to on a daily basis, you don't have that relationship with him. And you're saying, I want to get to know Jesus. I want to start a new life with Jesus as part of it. Just while everyone else has their eyes shut, would you just lift up your hands so that I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And let's all pray together. If you just say, Father God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for your plans for my life. I give my heart and life to you. Come into my heart, Jesus. And I will give you all the glory for everything that you do in me and through me. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, Amen. Now put your hands together for Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.